Good evening. It's wonderful to be here with you all, and I'm definitely appreciative of the opportunity that you provided me to come before you and share the thoughts that I prepared about the subject. Brother Clay, you did a wonderful job, and I say amen to your lesson. That's definitely something that I wish I would have heard when I was younger. Appreciate your desire and your preparation and everything that you put into that lesson. It's good to see everybody here tonight. Of course, we have a packed house, and that's wonderful to see. It's wonderful to see so many young faces as well. I'm always excited and encouraged when I see young people, as well as those who are more mature as well. Me, as I continue to grow older and have more gray hairs in my head, I reach back to my youth and I feel it fleeting. But I still classify myself as one who is young. Once again, we just definitely appreciate you being here with us tonight. And if you're visiting with us, we want to extend a warm welcome to you and hope that you can continue to attend each night. I pray that the lesson that we listened to a little bit tonight is beneficial for you, is encouraging, is also insightful. I definitely appreciate the topics that were picked, and I think they were all beneficial. I know, me just preparing the lessons, I were able to glean principles that I didn't think about, and I was able to grow, so I pray that I can share some of that with you as well. The lesson that we're going to study a little bit tonight is called Built to Withstand, and it comes from Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. I've watched HGTV a lot, and pretty much a little bit more recently because I bought a fixer-upper. And, HGTV kind of hyped me up to get the fixer-upper because I watched the show and I saw everything that the people were doing, and I said, that looks pretty easy. I could probably do that. So I said, okay, it's something I'm going to embark in. It's an adventure that I want to, do. So we bought a fixer-upper, and of course, it definitely was not like anything that I watched on HGTV. I'm convinced that they do not show you everything. I'm convinced that they kind of, even the disasters that they do show you, it's kind of a glimpse of what can possibly go wrong. But could you imagine, building a house, your dream house? On HGTV, they have that show called Magnolia Homes with Chip and Joanne, and they build beautiful houses. And most people say, well, I would dream to have a house like that. Could you imagine having a house built? There is your dream house, and then all of a sudden a storm comes, and it's reduced to rubble. How would you feel at that moment? Probably pretty bad, right? I mean, most of us would say that part of the American dream is having a wonderful home. Is arriving and building a structure that you can be proud of. But then to see a storm hit and all of a sudden it's reduced to rubble, that would be detrimental. That would be defeating. That would feel horrible. And that's just a physical house. What about the spiritual house that all of us are building? Could you imagine standing before God, thinking that you had followed him, thinking that you had devoted your life to him, thinking that you have been his disciple, but then all of a sudden hearing those dreadful words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." To have your spiritual house destroyed in rubble and shambles. Now that would definitely be detrimental. In the story that Jesus gives us tonight, he's going to paint the picture of two people who are building homes. Now, these two people have some things in common. They also have some differences, as well as different outcomes. So those are going to be the things that we're going to look at tonight. We'll read the passage. It says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you who he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the floods arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house, it could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." There's a very important question embedded in this story, and you probably can already identify it. But at the very beginning, Jesus says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say. Now, that would make a person scratch their head. The word Lord signifies that that person is recognizing that Jesus is their master. You know, he's not a friend. He's not a colleague. He's not a, you know, a family member, but he's the master of their life. And hence that if a person has recognized Jesus as the master of their life, it naturally follows that that person would do what Jesus is asking them to do. But yet Jesus says, why do you call me Lord if you're not going to do the things that I command you to do? If you're not going to follow my principles, if you're not going to follow my teachings. In other words, if you're just going to do your own thing. So Jesus goes on, and we're going to look at the things that these two people have in common. So both people come to Jesus. So he says, whoever comes to me. Both of these two individuals, they come to Jesus. And we know that there's a lot of people in this world today that are coming to Jesus. And many people are coming for many different reasons. Maybe people are coming because they feel that Jesus is a good person and they want to know more about him. Maybe people are coming because they've heard of prosperity teaching and they feel like Jesus is going to bless their life and take care of all their problems and issues. Maybe people are coming because they're just curious and they really want to try to figure out who this Jesus is. And maybe some are coming because they recognize their plight. They recognize the excruciating agony and pain and suffering that Jesus experienced on the cross. And they know he did it for their sins. So they may want to know, what do I need to do, Lord? So both of these individuals come. Both of these individuals hear. They hear the same teachings. You know, I love the principles of Jesus. And I love the Bible. I love the way God designed it and delivered it because it speaks to us and it gives us everything that we need. I've been going through the parables of Jesus at my home congregation lately, and they have been phenomenal and mind-blowing. And every time I read one and every time I study one and just delve the principles, I look at Jesus and I say, wow, how did you know? How did you know exactly what I would go through and what I would need to solve the issues that I experienced? How did you know? And then I also look at him and I'm stunned and I'm taken back at the love that he shows us, at the grace that he gives us, and at the patience that he gives us. And of course, all that is embedded in the teachings of Jesus. So both of these individuals heard. Okay? So both come, both hear. And then at the very bottom, both have a house or a home. Both have a structure that they have built or that they are building, which is just like all of us today. We all have a spiritual house that we are building. So we do have things in common with these individuals that Jesus depicts in this parable. But there are also some differences. So when we look at the first difference, we see that the first individual says, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them. This first individual heard and was intrigued, but he didn't let it go in one ear and out the other. He went and acted. He did what Jesus was telling him to do, which, of course, is the only right response. If we're going to call Jesus Lord, then we need to be willing to do what he is asking us to do. I think sometimes we can look at the burden, at the commands of Jesus and think that they are burdensome, think that they are a problem, thinking that Jesus is trying to rain on our parade and he doesn't want us to have any fun. And we look out in the world and we see the people who are in the world, the people who don't believe in God, and we view them and their actions and their behaviors, and we may wonder, well, why can't I do that? Well, you can. I mean, there's nothing that's stopping you from doing anything that you want to do. It's just when Jesus gives us commands, when God gives us commands, he's not trying to rain on our parade. He's not trying to spoil our fun. He's trying to save our life. Because God definitely has in perspective what really matters. And we don't always have in perspective what really matters. Sometimes we live for the moment. Sometimes we live for that event. Sometimes we live, you know, a day by day or whatever it may be. God wants us to live for eternity. God wants us to store up treasures in heaven. It just doesn't happen in and of ourselves. You and I do not have the way. If we did have the way, we wouldn't need God. We wouldn't need Jesus. We wouldn't need his word. But we don't have the way in and of ourselves. That's why God has given us and showed us and instructed us in his way. So this first individual, he comes, he hears a saying, and he does them. And then he says, well, it's time for me to get to work. He starts building. You know, he recognizes that there's something for him to do. He's not just going to sit on his hands and do nothing. He's not going to sit on his hands and say that everything is okay. No, he starts to build. It goes on to say, he dug deep. And I love that explanation and that, you know, expression. Because as we build our spiritual life, it's going to take work. Depending on your background, depending on where you come from, it may take a little bit more work than others. But either way it goes, it's going to take work. Because you're digging deep. When I first learned about the truth, when I first learned about the gospel, I had to dig past everything that I had created in my mind. I had to dig past all my past mistakes and past sins. I had to dig past all my friends' beliefs and my parents' beliefs. And that can be challenging. Sometimes people don't make it. Sometimes that dig is too deep. It's too much. It's too hard. It's too tough. I can't get past that. But you know what? Sometimes, or eventually, the digging will be over. And you will never regret the effort that it took to reach the point where you got. Because the point where you reach is where exactly where you needed to be. Because it says he laid the foundation on the rock. He was digging for a reason. He wasn't digging aimlessly. I mean, digging is not fun. Nobody's going to go outside with a shovel and just say, I want to have fun and I'm going to dig. That's the opposite of fun. I dug up a little pole in my yard and I was thinking, okay, well, you know, this pole can't be that deep. And the person who put it in, you know, it's just a little pole. So I should just be able to get it out. About 4 feet later, I'm still digging and still sweating, thinking, man, what did they do? Well, they cemented it in the ground. So I had to continue to dig until I got to the rock. This man, he says, I know the rock is there. I know what I need to build on is there. So I'm going to keep digging. I'm going to keep searching. I'm going to put in the work. Because I know that it is very important to build on the rock. And how would this man have known that? Well, remember, when he came to Jesus, he heard. So obviously, it implies that Jesus told him what he needed to do. Why would Jesus just go let him build his house on any foundation? Jesus is going to instruct him, this is what you need to build on. He's going to heed his instructions, the teachings of Jesus, and say, I understand, now I'm going to go do it. So he laid the foundation on the rock. Let's look at the second individual. Second individual came to Jesus and he did nothing. I would never understand that. As long as I live, I would never understand that. A person who comes to Jesus, a person who studies Jesus, a person who learns about Jesus, a person who knows the teachings, but yet does not act upon them. He did nothing. It didn't penetrate his heart. It didn't change his behavior. It didn't cause him to dig. It didn't cause him to seek. He thought that he was okay. Nothing needed to change about his life. He was fine. He says, I understand and I hear, but I'm not going to do it. Let's go on and look at a difference. This is a slight difference. Notice, the first gentleman, it says that he was building a house. The second gentleman, it says he built, a man who had built a house. So that means that this gentleman already had something established. He had built it already. He wasn't building. And what he had built, he had cherished so much that he thought that, okay, well, what I already have and who I already am and this is structure that I've created, it's going to be acceptable to God. So I don't need to build again. I don't need to change it. Jesus is going to accept it. He already built. But is that really what Jesus is going to accept? See, the life that I lived before I met Jesus was a life that I had built. And if I would have tried to continue to bring that life to Jesus, that life would not have been acceptable to Jesus. I couldn't say, well, Jesus, I understand your principles. I understand your way. But you know what? I'm not going to change. I'm not going to get rid of any of the habits. I'm not going to become a new person that you want me to be. I'm just going to be who I am and live the life that I want to live. And then you're going to accept the structure that I have built. No, that's not what Jesus is going to accept. He loves us too much to accept that. This man had already built something, and he wasn't willing to tear it down nor start over. And we'll see what happens because of his hard-heartedness, because of his stubbornness. So this reminds me of James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. This man was deceived because he thought that he could just be a hearer of the word. And you know, the thing about being deceived, that's a horrible place to be. Because when we are deceived, we think that everything's okay when in all actuality, it's not. When we are deceived, we feel like, okay, we're in a perfect place when we are not. He was deceived because he thought that he could build or give Jesus what he had already built. It goes on, and this man says that the foundation was the earth. So he didn't dig deep. The structure that he already built was already laid up on the earth. So he thought that he was okay. But lo and behold, as we will begin to discover, that it's not okay. Jesus tells us what foundation we need to build on. And this gentleman did not take heed to Jesus' instructions. So let's look at the outcome. Well, it says the stream beat vehemently against that house, and it could not be shaken, for it was founded upon the rock. The man who had built his house upon rock, when the things happened to him in his life, his house, what he had built, could not be shaken. See, I believe what's alluded to here is the trials and tribulations that we experienced in this life, as well as the end judgment. Many of us, all of us, are going to go through difficulties in life. All of us are going to go through trials and tribulations. And when those moments happen, we're going to truly see if what we have built is going to remain. We're going to truly see if what we have built has been built upon the firm foundation of the rock. Of course, if it has, we will be like this first gentleman. Nothing can shake it. Not trials, not temptations, not disasters, not death, not loss of jobs, not loss of incomes, not uncertain circumstances. Nothing can shake what we have built. Because we will understand that we don't need to go anywhere. We will understand that even though I'm going through difficulties, that's okay. They won't last forever. Even though I'm going through hardships, that's okay. It won't last forever. Even though things may not be going the way that I planned it, and things may be a little bit tough at this time, that's okay. It won't last forever. We will understand the correct perspective that through those hardships and through those trials, our faith can grow and we can get stronger and closer to God. And nothing will be able to shake it. Isn't that what we all desire? Isn't that what we all look forward to? I was talking to my friend kind of about this idea, and I was telling him, I said, I don't understand how two people can go through similar circumstances, the same situation, and one person be completely destroyed by it and another person be built up by it. You know, for my life at that point in time, I really had not experienced many hardships and many pains and many aches. And as we were talking, I said, you know, I really don't know why a person, you know, is going to be able to come out on the end of it. I say, I guess the only way to find out is to go through something. But nobody is really raising their hands to say, Lord, I want you to put me through everything that you can possibly put me through. I mean, I pray for patience with my son, and I feel like him putting me through his behavior is all as much as I can bear. I couldn't imagine anything else. But when we go through things, we really see what we have built upon. And hopefully, it's the rock that we have built our foundation, that we have laid as a foundation, that we have reached as a foundation. The other gentleman, it says that the stream came and had the same actions, but the structure that he had built, it immediately fell. He had a very weak foundation. It was built upon the earth, and it did not withstand. So a little word there. He says it immediately fell. It didn't even try to withstand. It's like the little stream hit it, and then all of a sudden it crumbled and it fell. And of course, that's the results for us. If we hear the teachings of Jesus, but yet we let them go in one ear and out the other, we don't apply them to our life, we don't obey him, we think that it's okay for us not to do everything that God wants us to do. When the trials and tribulations of this life come, what we have built will be destroyed. And maybe not even then, but definitely in the day of judgment, we have not done what Jesus is asking us to do. It's going to be a horrible time. It's going to be a horrible day. Jesus gives us a wonderful warning in this parable. And I pray it's something that we can all hear, that we can all heed, that we all walk out of here understanding that following Jesus' commands are very important, that they are essential, that we cannot live a life that is pleasing to him without following him. The question that he posed at the very beginning, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? If we don't do what he says, it doesn't matter that we call him Lord. And great thing about doing what Jesus wants us to do, a great thing about following his way, is that he's there to help us along the way. He's there to strengthen us, that he knows what we are going through. And he wants us to make it. Once again, following his teachings and following his principles, they are not a burden. It's the greatest thing that we can ever do in this life. Because in this life, the only thing that really matters is what's going to come when Jesus comes back or when we pass away and stand before God. At that moment, if we have built up on the wrong foundation, we can't go back and fix it. Once again, it's wonderful to see so many young brothers and sisters here. And as I have young children, I'm trying to do my due diligence to help them and to build a firm foundation for them. Something that I pray for my kids, that I can help them get a foundation, because I know that one day they will need to stand on something. So I'm trying to do my due diligence to help them, to teach them what the principles of God. And if you have parents that are doing the same thing for you, I pray that you will always look at that as a privilege and a benefit, that you have someone guiding you along with God and Jesus. You have someone there to help you understand the principles, that you have someone to help you lay that foundation. Because eventually you will be on your own. You'll be out in the world, whether you go to college or whether you, go off and start a trade or a career. Eventually you'll be out from underneath your parents' roof. And that foundation will be yours and yours alone to stand on. And I pray that you have understood the significance behind doing what Jesus has told you to do. Therefore, you will always stand up on the rock. As we conclude, we see in this story that the storms of life can literally destroy things. You can destroy the structure that we have built. But for those who have built on the rock, we don't have to worry. We don't have to fret. We don't have to be, in a panic when those storms hit. Because what we are building will remain. We don't have to dread the day of judgment. We don't have to run from the day of judgment, because we know that we have built upon rock. This parable, this story, is a wonderful example for us. And when we look at it, when we walk away from it, and we do what Jesus is asking us to do, we know for sure that we have built upon rock. Maybe there's individuals who haven't built upon the rock. And if you haven't built upon the rock, then of course, if those things come into your life, then the time, what you're going to experience is destruction and disaster. You say, well, how do I get to the rock? What do I need to do to begin? You need to hear the word of God. After you have heard, you must believe. After you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is who the scripture depicts him to be, that he was crucified for your sins. You repent of those sins. You turn from that way of sin. You turn from that life that is in a rebellion to God. After that, you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts chapter 8, verse 37. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. After you have done that, you are baptized for the remission of your sins. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. That's the beginning of your foundation. That's not the end. You may have to dig. You may have to continue to dig till you get it firmly planted. And that's okay. Because remaining faithful to God is the only response, correct response, after we have been baptized. Chapter 1, verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light. And maybe there's someone out there who has obeyed the gospel and you just need prayers. God has given us a great privilege to be able to pray for one another. So whether that be one of you, the class, please come while we stand and sing. Amen.